Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
So here in the month of July, we want to do something a little different, a little fun. Pastor Karen, we're going to call it 2-for-1 July. Can y'all just say it? 2-for-1 July.
You just be making up
stuff. I just love to make stuff up. Now, listen, for this whole month, Pastor Karen and I are going to be preaching together. So, we do that occasionally. We always enjoy doing it. It's always a lot of fun. So here for the whole month of July, every Sunday, we're going to be up here together talking about some different topics and things that we believe are going to help all of us draw closer to God. Today, what we'd like to talk about is how to effectively walk through trials. How do you effectively walk through trials?
You notice he said effectively, how to effectively walk through the trials of life. You know, it's one thing to just walk through a trial of life and you just kind of get through it or whatever, power through it, whatever. But in order to effectively walk through the problems and the issues that we're going to face in life, we need God.
Yeah.
We need God with us, leading us, guiding us. So that's what we're going to kind of share with you today, how to walk effectively through the trials of life with God leading you all the way.
Absolutely. You know, James chapter 1 talks about the fact that we're going to face trials in this life. The Apostle James says, hey, you're going to face trials. But what it talks about there is the purpose of those trials is to develop our faith. See, there's always a purpose to everything, right? There's purpose in our trials. And what it says is our faith is going to be tested in those trials. And it's then an opportunity to develop the word perseverance, which helps us then, it says, grow into maturity. Perseverance helps us to grow into maturity so that, and I love this last line in James, it says, so that we're lacking nothing. Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? Perseverance plus faith gives us complete assurance, and then we won't have to lack anything.
That's
powerful.
That's really good. You know, as we were planning the message for this Sunday, the scripture kept coming to me, and it's Isaiah 12:4. And I know that whenever something keeps coming to me like that, that's God trying to tell me something. So I want to share it with you this morning. It says, in that day, you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted.
Yeah.
And as I was thinking on that scripture, it hit me. This is the purpose of our trials.
Yeah.
So that as we walk with God through the trials and the situations that we face, we have a testimony on the other side to the goodness and the faithfulness of God, and we can proclaim the greatness of his name.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes though, in it's hard to see past the moment when you're in the middle of the storm, right? When you're in the middle of the problem, the battle, the trial. And so one of the things, what we want to share with you today, Pastor Karen and I want to share with you, some things we've learned along the way based on God's word, right, that can help us all to effectively walk through the trials of life.
Yeah, you know, like, I look around the room, and I mean, all of us are going through something, right? I mean, if you're not going through something, raise your hand, because I want to bless you.
I better not see any hands, because we all going through something.
Yeah, like right now, I'm going through a couple things, and you know what I've noticed is the tendency I have to say, man, this is so hard. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. You know, how am I going to deal with this? This is exhausting. And God showed me that when I say those things, or even when I think like that, that I'm already seeing myself as defeated.
Yeah.
I see myself as defeated. We tend to do that, right? Like you see yourself as defeated. But here's the deal. If you belong to Jesus Christ, if you're a follower of God, you are not defeated.
Yeah.
You are not defeated. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. To be a conqueror means what? Means you had to have been through some
means
fights,
you had to
right?
go through a battle, right?
But through Jesus, we are more than conquerors. We're not defeated.
Yeah, you know, Mike Tyson didn't get to be champ by just going through easy fights. They were hard. They were hard fights. He didn't become a victor, a champion, except by going through some tough, tough fights.
Right. So we have to see ourselves as a victor and not a defeated victim. We are victors through Christ, not victims.
So, babe, when you say, you know, see ourselves as victors, what do you mean by that? What does that look like?
Well, okay, so when you're going through trials, you tend to look at yourself as defeated, but you don't see the problem as already defeated.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We're not defeated. Yeah. That problem is defeated. Jesus defeated it. It's done. And Psalm 138 says this. It says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you, talking about God, preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. So, like, it doesn't, the wrath, that's a hard word. Yeah. It doesn't matter how bad things are. God is with us in that fight. You know, and it's easy to forget that when our circumstances aren't lining up with this scripture.
Right.
Yep.
So we start trying to work the problem our own way.
Oh, our own way. Is that kind of like my favorite tool? What's my favorite tool in the toolbox, babe?
Yeah, no, okay, so I'm going to tell a little bit here. He loves the hammer.
I love the hammer. It's my favorite tool.
We need to fix this. He goes and gets the hammer. I'm like,
and I try and use everything with the hammer.
And what's that? I got this. I'm like, no, put that back. And you know what happens? Usually it ends up worse. I end up having to call somebody to come fix it because he was just getting wild with the hammer.
Because guess what? There's other tools in the toolbox beside the hammer, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm sitting there trying to use a hammer on something that needs a drill driver. No, it just doesn't work well.
That's right. And the Apostle James talks about that.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. What if we thought about it like this, like James described it? What if we start seeing our problems more like a challenge?
Right.
What if we start seeing our trials as more of an opportunity to develop our faith and grow in our relationship with God? Literally, what if we looked at it as a way to mature into all that God created us to be? What if we approached our trials like that?
That's like flipping the script, actually. It's hard. It's hard to do that. You know, it took me having to go through all kinds of drama in my life, even after we got married, to get a revelation of that, that we have to see it as an opportunity to grow in our faith and to learn some perseverance. I mean, when we first got married, it was not cupcakes and rainbows, y'all. We went through some heavy, heavy stuff, like stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we faced a few challenges.
No, you didn't. Y'all see how he just did that? You know, but that's one thing. That's one thing I love about you. He sees things differently. He sees things not as dramatic as I do. He tends to see the good in things. And that's actually one of the things I love about you. That's why this kind of works, y'all, because I'll be wilding out. It works. He's got a good attitude.
Well, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, either we believe what God's word says or we don't, right? I mean, that's just kind of my philosophy. That's how I look at it. Like, you know, Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. It also says he will never permit the righteous to be moved. So I'm going to stand on that right there. Yeah.
Okay, so that just preaches way better than it lives.
True.
You know, because when you're going through stuff, you don't tend to think like that, which is why we're saying it today. You know, it's so hard to stay focused on what the Word of God says when you're dealing with some heavy stuff. You know, you're struggling, you're worried, and that's all the more reason why you have to dwell on God's word as you're going through it. And I want you to notice I said going through it. I think humanity, as humans, we tend to want to circumvent problems. We tend to want to get away from them. And honestly, you're going to have to go through some things with Jesus to actually learn and grow. You can't keep circumventing your trials, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely relate to that. I mean, I remember, you know, a problem I was dealing with many years ago, and I was doing everything I could to avoid the pain. In other words, I was trying to walk around the problem instead of through the problem. Anybody here ever been there?
Yeah.
I didn't want, you know, what I wanted to do is actually try and work the problem on my own, right? Figure out my own way to fix it and hoping that it would just go away. But how many people here know problems generally just don't go away, right? In fact, this problem didn't go away and it actually got much worse.
Well, you know, we were talking about this as we were preparing, and it's like when you see yourself as a victim of your circumstance or your problem, then you're going to probably handle it one of two ways. You're either going to give up and hope it just goes away, you're like going to kind of like, I'm going to ignore this. Or you're going to start trying to fight it in your own strength, trying to fix the problem, solve it in your own and what you think about how you should deal with it.
I mean, that's so real because it's easy to do that, right? Yeah. We come up with it with a problem, an issue, a trial. And our first inclination, especially for men, I think, is to try and fix it. I'm going to jump in. Men are fixers, right? We got a problem. There it is. I'm going to come up with a plan, and I'm going to go fix this thing, right? Yeah. I think it's so easy to fall into that tendency and that temptation. But, you know, one of the things, again, this is why you need people in your life, like spouse, like other people speak truth into you. Like Pastor Karen's good about helping me see, wait a minute. Why don't you go pray about that before you start trying to fix it? Oh, yeah, that sounds like a pretty good idea. And doing that over time has actually helped me many times not jump in and try and fix something, even when I wanted to, that I was tempted to do that right away.
Yeah, you know, that's just one of those things that I learned. I mean, going through life trying to fix stuff on my own, and it always ended up worse. And that's one of the things that I learned. I've learned that. Yeah, we have to do what we can do, right? Like, God has given us skills and the ability to think through some things and kind of understand His word in a different way. We have to do what we can do, but we don't need to do anything until we pray about it first.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, we have to bring God into the situation. We have to bring Him in, and then we have to wait on God.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's not easy.
Ooh,
that's
that.
Not easy because here's what I've learned. When you see yourself as a victim of the situation or the problem or the trial, it's going to be hard for you to wait on God.
Right. Right.
I mean, it's almost impossible. You have to literally resist the temptation to not. You know, you might pray about the problem and say, oh, okay, well, I prayed about it. Now, let me go try to fix it. That's not waiting on God.
No.
And you can't sugarcoat that and say, oh, well, I'm doing what I can do. Well, no, sometimes there's nothing you can do, and
Ooh.
You know it.
I think there's a scripture that says, wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
right.
Wait on the Lord. After having done all, stand, and then stand. Yeah. You know, because here's the thing. When you don't wait on God, you're going to automatically try to go figure it out, or you're going to run from the problem. That's one of those two things you're going to do.
Yeah.
And here's the deal, y'all. If you belong to God, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you're not going to be on the losing end of anything.
That's right. Come on.
You're not.
Yes, in Christ we are victors. Yes.
Yeah, because the Bible tells us the Lord directs our steps.
Right.
He's directing our steps. So when all these problems and these trials, and I'm not making light of anything anybody's going through. Because I know there are some hard things that we're dealing with. But when we can allow God to be in the middle of the situation, He's going to take care of us.
Yeah.
We honored Him. We honored Him by bringing Him into it, by humbly submitting ourselves and saying, God, I can't do this without You. I need You. And God works with humility.
Ooh, yes,
He loves a humble heart towards Him.
Amen.
And you know, like I said, we all have problems we're dealing with, whether it's with our kids or our jobs or our finances, health issues. There's a myriad of things that we deal with. And we're going to face heartache and loss. But those things, if you look at it like this, through Jesus, when we lean on God and allow Him to walk us through those things, that's an opportunity for us to grow.
Yeah.
That's an opportunity for us to grow and mature in Jesus, which is what we're supposed to be doing, right? It's called sanctification. We grow in Christ, and then we learn to see our setbacks as setups for a comeback in Jesus.
Come on, say that again. Come on, that's good.
Learn to see your setbacks as a setup for a comeback in Jesus.
Wow, that is so good. I mean, imagine if we just looked at things like that. Hey, this is just a setback to set me up.
Man, yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Hey, you know, something else that we, you know, have really just experienced and was on my heart when it comes to this is I want us to remember this when it comes to our trials and things that happen to us. What happens to you does not have to define you. Let's say that again.
Say it again.
What happens to you does not have to define you.
Mm. Yeah. It's good.
I mean, listen, we can get so consumed with the problem, the issue, the trial, that we lose sight of two things. Number one, we lose sight of the possibilities that still exist.
Yeah.
Right? God knows tomorrow from today, right? So there's all kinds of possibilities that God already has in store that we don't even think about. But we get so mired in the problem, we get stuck, we don't see the possibilities. The other thing that happens when we get stuck in our problem is that we don't recognize all the other good things in our life.
Yeah.
We don't, we forget about all, yeah, I've got one problem, but what about the other 92 things that God's doing great or that are good in my life because of God? So we lose that perspective when we get mired in that.
Yeah. I mean, it's like when, you know, you're going through a divorce, he and I both have been through that. And that's a hard thing to deal with, honestly.
Yeah. You know, I learned that the hard way when many years ago I went through a divorce. Now, I knew my marriage had failed, but the problem was I started to view every part of my life as a failure.
Yeah.
Man, I started thinking to myself, well, but you're also not a good dad. You're also not doing good at work. You're failing at everything. I began to see myself as a failure, all because my marriage had fallen apart.
That reminds me of the trailer.
The trailer, what?
Yeah, the trailer.
Trailer.
Y'all, we had a trailer. We bought a trailer a few years ago, and the idea that we convinced ourselves was that we're going to buy this trailer. It's going to be great. Okay, he and I are not camping people. We learned that the hard way.
I don't know
way.
Why we bought a trailer.
We learned that.
Crazy ideas, but
yeah,
okay.
It was. But we bought this trailer. We thought, okay, we're going to take the grandkids. It's going to be fun because we would travel and we would experience all these beautiful places, and we wanted the grandkids to see it. So we thought, well, you know, their parents are on their own. And we're going to take the grandbabies. So we took them on a lot of little trips, right? We had a good time. We went to some really great places in that trailer.
Yeah.
But the reason it reminds me of that is because our last trip in the trailer was a nightmare.
Uh-oh.
Y'all, it was awful. We had this whole thing planned out. We were going to South Padre. We were going to camp on the beach. You know, we had gotten this special campground that was going to have Wi-Fi. Okay, Wi-Fi didn't work. It was a mess. It was forever from the beach. And then everybody got a stomach bug. And I was like,
worst trip ever.
Why did we? But the first thing I said to him, I was like,
yeah,
why did we ever buy this trailer?
Right.
This was the dumbest thing we ever did. Why did we? Because I had forgotten about all the good things that we experienced through having the trailer.
Yeah. You know, babe, that's actually a really good example. I mean, the thing is, we can't just because one thing goes bad doesn't mean everything's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just because one part of our life may be going through a trial doesn't mean our entire life is a mess, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that the trailer is a good example of that. That one camping trip didn't wipe out all the great trips that we had, right? So, yeah.
Sort of did.
Yeah. Not really. No, it was good.
But it's the same thing. I remember, you know, as he and I got together, he was talking to me. We talked about, you know, our past. You talk with your partner about your past. And he was sharing with me just the whole, what he went through as he went through that divorce.
Yeah, I've been, you know, thinking back, you know, to that for me, it was hard for me to realize that same thing when I was going through a divorce. But as I let God walk me through that season, as I let him heal me in that process, that's when I really learned, I think, deep, that what happened to me didn't have to define me.
Yeah.
Right? That what happened to me, my marriage may have failed, true, but my entire life wasn't a failure, right? And God walked me through that. He helped me see that. God showed me that. He showed me his goodness and his love. And in that, God showed me new possibilities. He let me know, no, this is not the end of the story. This is just a chapter. This is just a chapter. It's not the end of the story. And I think that's one thing that I would say. When we're going through trials, we have to remember it's just a chapter.
That's good.
It's not your whole story.
It's really good. You know, Isaiah 43 says that. Isaiah 43 says that we have to forget the former things, right? It says, forget the former things. God is doing something new. And then Isaiah goes on to say, do you not see it? Do you not perceive it? We got to forget the former things. Learn from them, but let it go and see the new things that God is doing right now, because he's a right now God.
Yeah, you see, at some point when I was going through that, I had to quit focusing on what I'd lost, and I had to start focusing on what God still had.
Right.
This lady is one of the things that God had for me.
Amen.
Yeah, can we just clap for her? Because, you see, if I had let that failed marriage define me, I may not be here right now, in this moment,
we
in this very moment. We can't let what happens to us define us.
Yeah, I want to go back to what you said a while ago. You said letting God heal you. Yeah. That's the key. That's the key. When we walk through trials and, you know, maybe it's a failed marriage or maybe it's a loss, grief. You know, when someone dies or, you know, you go through a divorce, that's grief. Yeah. That's a loss. And you know, we have to allow God to heal us in that process, because when we do that, we won't let what happened become our identity.
Yes.
We can't let our situation, our circumstances, our failures, we can't let that become our identity. And that's what looks like walking effectively through a trial when we don't allow that to happen.
Absolutely. And yes, again, that's why we need to not let our problems become our life story.
Yeah.
Right? Because God doesn't define us that way. God doesn't define us that way.
Yeah. So if you want to walk through trials effectively, you got to remember also that you aren't what you do.
Oh, say that again.
Okay, so you aren't what you do. And what I mean by that, okay, for example, we all have different roles in our lives, right? Like what are some of your roles, babe?
So, like husband, father, pastor, papa.
Papa.
That's one of my funnest roles. I love being papa.
Well, yeah, so you are all those roles. Yep. And you guys all have a different role. Wife, husband, whatever. Whatever your job is.
Employee,
realtor, pastor, right.
Owner, whatever.
But what is the one role, out of all the different roles you can have, what is the one role that is the only one that matters in heaven? What is it, babe?
The only one I can think of is being a child of God.
Exactly.
That's the only role I'm going to have there.
Exactly.
Yep.
We cannot forget that. We cannot forget that, because if we forget that, we'll start identifying with whatever role we are walking in the moment.
Yeah.
And we'll start trying to figure out the problem and work it out from that role. And we can't do that.
Right. So, I mean, like right now, let's say we're going through something in our marriage, or we're working on something. I'm going to come at that from the role of a husband, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be my natural inclination.
Well, it's logical. So like as a mom, you know, my kids are grown, but I'm still mom. Now, I'm not going to be mom forever, but if they're going through something, I have to resist the tendency or the natural inclination to try to help them as mom. Like, I have to be very intentional that I don't get all wrapped up in their business like that. They're grown. They're grown. And you know, it was hard. I'm not going to say that's easy, especially for me. I've been accused multiple times of being a helicopter mom. And I'm here to say them girls don't know what a helicopter mom looks like. Okay? So we're just going to debunk that myth right there. But it is my natural tendency as a mom, when my kids are going through something, to jump in as mom. And God has taught me that I have to take a step back. Like, I have to pray. I need to listen to them, but I can't be doling out advice. Mm-mm, no. When the kids were little, it was different.
Oh, you were all up in their business when they were little.
Where are you going? Where are you at?
Rightly so, actually.
Who's there? Who's going to be there? You ain't going.
Who you out with? Where are you at right now?
I don't know them people. But it's different now because they're grown.
Yeah.
And God literally, he kind of like thumped me on the head. And so now I have to be super, super intentional to let our grown kids live and learn.
Yeah, that's right.
God showed me that this might hit some of you parents of older kids. God told me very clearly, if you keep getting involved in their lives, trying to be God, then I can't be their God.
Woo. You know,
And no, he doubled down on me this way.
Yeah.
He doubled down on me. He said, you are taking on my role and that's not your business.
Do you know where God actually shared that with her?
Oh, yeah.
I remember it well. It was in the middle of the ocean.
Yep.
On a cruise ship.
Yep.
That's where God dropped that revelation.
Yeah,
I remember
did.
I was sitting right next to her on the deck.
Yeah.
Said, let me tell you what God just dropped on my spirit. What, in fact, I think the words you used that God shared with you is, if you keep trying to be God to this one kid that we had that was going through some stuff, they ain't going to let me be God.
Yeah.
Ooh. That was powerful.
You know what? Parents, look at your hands. You got any nail prints?
I ain't got none.
You don't have nail prints.
Mm-mm.
Then we can't try to be Jesus for our kids.
Yeah.
Even the little ones.
Yeah. We hope they see Jesus in us.
Yes.
But we ain't Jesus.
Right. Yeah. We got to point them to him.
Come on,
but we
man.
Can't be him. You know, this is the other thing that God showed me in that whole process. He showed me that my main role, my very most important role, was to be his daughter.
That's right.
To be a child of God, to pray for others, and to live my life following him. That was my main role. And you know, I love how you brought up James chapter 1, because here's what James chapter 1 says. I didn't bring my Bible up here. I guess I got it memorized. But anyway, it says that we have to count it all joy when we face trials, right?
Right.
Well, our grown kids, our husband or our wife or whoever it is that's going through something, and we want to get in there and fix it.
We want to fix it.
We have to let them learn to count it all joy they face their own trials.
Because they need their own joy. They don't need our joy. Yeah. They need their own joy in the Lord.
They have to learn to face their trials, count it joy, so that they don't run away from their problems. Because you know what? That's when their faith is going to be tested and refined and developed. Otherwise, how are they ever going to learn to persevere through the trials of life? How are they ever going to learn not to get in their feelings and to trust God? To learn to stand on God's word when they're facing some stuff?
Absolutely, man. That is so good. That is so good. My friends, you have to know who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ is the role that matters the most. It's the role that matters the most. It affects everything you do, and it is your true identity. It is your true role. We can't get lost in these other roles in this life. Hey, we all have them. Just don't get lost in them, because remember this. All of those other roles are temporary. All of those other roles are seasonal. They will come to an end.
That's right. I mean, think about that. There's only one role that lasts for eternity. You can be a parent now, but you're not going to be a parent in heaven.
That's right.
You're not going to be a parent in heaven. You know, and I could say the same thing as a spouse.
Why? Your kids won't need a parent in heaven. They already have a heavenly father.
Amen.
But see, he's all of ours.
Yeah.
I said it before. I'm going to just say it again. Remember, God ain't got no grandchildren.
Yeah, that's right.
We're all his kids once you accept Christ.
Yeah. You know, the other thing is sometimes we get caught up in thinking that our spouse is going to be our spouse for eternity. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus said. Jesus said that in heaven, our role is to serve God. That's it. That's our role. So we have to focus in this life on becoming a child of God, learning to let Jesus walk us through some things, learning God's word so we can stand on that. When we don't have anything else, we stand on his word and we wait on God and we trust him. We have to learn to do that, because that's our main role, to be a child of God.
Absolutely. And that's why we need to know God, and we need to accept his son as our savior. That's how we become a child of God. And then when we do that, and live our lives following Jesus, then he teaches us how to walk through the trials of life. You see, when I have an issue in my marriage, if I only approach it as a husband, I'm not going to get very far. The reason I say that is because I'm limited. Christ is unlimited. Whereas if I approach my marriage as first a child of God and understanding that's where my help comes from, then I can actually be a better husband. Do you see how that works? If we just, as Pastor Karen said so powerfully, if we approach our problems in these other roles first instead of as a child of God, we don't have the full power to deal with our problems. When we have Christ, we do.
That's why it's so important that when you have an opportunity, if you don't know Jesus now, you have an opportunity today to know him, to become a child of God. It's like he was saying, it's only by accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, believing that what he did on the cross paid it all. That's how we become engrafted into the family of God.
Amen. As we continue to our life to Christ, He will lead us and guide us in every problem, every trial, and everything that comes. And let me just encourage us again, as we face trials and problems, let's keep in mind, first of all, that we're operating from a place of victory.
Yes.
Right? Christ has already won the battle. So no matter what the problem is, we actually are victors already. And let's also remember that we are not defined by what happens to us, and that, you know, what we do is not who we really are.
Right.
Those are the things that you know God's Word says, but we've experienced that in our life. Hope that you'll think about those things, pray about those things the next time, or in the trial you're in right now, okay, when the next time one comes.
Yeah, that's really good. I hope this helped y'all today. We want to continue through the month of July, just kind of giving you some things that we've walked through or how we've handled some things with Jesus. So I just pray that this has helped you today, you know, and let me pray for us right now that God will seal the word in our hearts. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together in your house, Lord. Thank you for drawing us here today. God, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for your son, Jesus, your precious only son, Jesus, Lord, that you sent to deliver us from the situations and not necessarily take us out of them, but show us how to walk through them, Lord. As we follow him, we learn. We learn how to follow you. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you've given every single one of us the opportunity to call you Father because of your son, Jesus. And God, I pray that if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you, maybe they've never given their life to you and they don't even understand what's happening right now, Father, just continue to draw them in by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit empowers us to do what you've called us to do. And Father, I just pray that you give us eyes to see ourselves as victors through Jesus and not victims. Father, remind us as we're walking through the difficulties of life, God, remind us that what happens to us doesn't define us. You define us, and you call us through Jesus, holy, righteous, redeemed. Father, that's just it. We have to accept Jesus. We have to receive him in our heart and follow him as our Lord and Savior. God, I just pray right now, if there's anybody here that has never done that, draw them in, Lord. If you are here today and you've never received Jesus into your heart, all you have to do is pray a simple prayer and mean it with your whole heart. You just mean it with your whole heart. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to even understand it all. But if you feel that tug on your heart that, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I believe this is true. If that's you, then you have an opportunity right now to receive Jesus in your life, in your heart, as your Lord and Savior. You know, I just ask other believers in the room, just repeat after me to encourage those who are making a decision for Christ today. It's just one simple prayer. You mean it with your whole heart. If that's you, this is what we're going to pray together. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I repent of my sin.
I repent of my sin.
I ask you to forgive me.
I ask you to forgive me.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Wash me clean.
Wash me clean.
I make you my Lord and Savior.